are listening to the Elephant in the Room podcast with your host, Sutta Singh. Each week, we will bring you a diverse range of inspiring speakers on issues of inequality and inequity. You will hear stories about fairness, justice, belonging, and about best practice for creating a more inclusive workplace. So, if you are an individual or leader interested in a fairer, equitable, compassionate society and workplace, this podcast is for you.
On the Elephant in the Room podcast today, I spoke with Natasha Zervudachi about Just Transition, a World Benchmarking Alliance initiative. The WBA intends to assess 450 of the world's most influential companies in high-emitting sectors by 2023 on their contributions to a just transition by assessing their alignment with the goals of the Paris Agreement alongside their approach to addressing the social challenges of a low-carbon transition. Brilliant. Thank you, Natasha, for being a guest on the Elephant in the Room podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a massive fan, so it's a real pleasure to be here and to get to speak to you today.
Let's start the conversation with sustainability and sustainable development. We're seeing a renewed impetus from organizations, and it's looking less and less like a tick box exercise now. What is your take on this? And we know that in the last year, purpose has become a buzzword. Everyone is talking about sustainability, ESG.
Really, really good and interesting question there. I guess to give listeners a tiny bit of a background on who I am and where I've come from. So I'm speaking today on behalf of the World Benchmarking Alliance, which is a global organization that essentially develops free and publicly available assessments and benchmarks to measure company progress and performance towards the Sustainable Development Goals and the Paris Agreement. So I think this question, as you said, we do definitely see that sustainability is moving further onto companies' agendas. And we can see, you know, especially if we compare that, say, maybe 10 years ago, we can definitely see that it's being talked about much more. It's appearing within public reporting. But what we have found for our benchmarks is that there is hugely still like a massive disparity of approaches when it comes to sustainable development and the reporting of progress on that. And I would have to say that sadly for many companies, it is still either completely missing or we do still see it as purely kind of a tick box exercise or a compliance exercise where it's purely kind of meeting legislation rather than being kind of fully integrated into the business strategy. So if, for example, like we recently did a kind of holistic look at all 2,000 companies that we benchmark within our benchmarks, and these are the 2,000 companies that we've identified as being the most influential companies in supporting the system change that's really needed within their industry in support of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. And of those 2,000 companies, we found that 775 of them aren't even mentioning Sustainable Development Goals within their corporate communications. And then when we kind of through our benchmarks dig deeper, those companies that are talking about sustainability, a lot of them, it's still kind of smoke and mirror tactics or greenwashing rather than that true integration of sustainability into their business practices.
That's really interesting. And I'd spoken with another colleague of yours sometime back. So we spoke about the assessment and the findings that people are doing just the minimum required. So that is a bit disappointing. What, according to you, are the big challenges that we face as a humanity and as a planet, the ones that we need to take action on? And of course, I'm leading up from COP26. In Indian terms, it's like a mela of global leaders come there to show their credentials and to speak. But it seems a lot of it seems like PR exercise. So tell me about the challenges and then we can speak about the rest.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you said, with COP26 in full swing, I'd certainly be remiss to not say that climate change is the glaringly obvious kind of biggest challenge that we're facing as the world. But the truth is, so many of these challenges that we do face when we talk about sustainable development, they are very interconnected. Yeah. So you can't kind of look at each challenge in a silo. And when you begin to dig into the UN Sustainable Development Goals, I think this becomes really apparent. If you start to kind of look at them as individual problems and try and treat them as individual problems, you don't get very far. So if we take climate change, for example, or lack of action towards climate change, that is going to have a huge impact on things like access to water, poverty rates, health and well-being, gender equality. I mean, the list really does go on. And I think companies, therefore, really do need to take a holistic approach to sustainable development. And they need to be much better integrating, kind of looking at those sustainable practices and approaches, both across their business and their value chains in a more strategic way, exactly as you were saying, rather than these kind of side projects, good PR pieces that sound really good and you can make good sound bites of, but you're not really changing the way that you're doing business. And I think that's the key, really. So at WBA, we take what we call a kind of systems approach to sustainable development, which means we're focusing on the whole interconnected nature of the sustainable development challenges rather than on a single specific element in isolation. So I think the reality is the issues that are facing the planet and humanity, they're so interlinked and they all impact on each other massively. So we're talking here today about the elephant in the room. And I think for me, the real elephant in the room is how do we ensure that as we tackle climate change, we are ensuring that that transition to a lower carbon economy happens in a way that doesn't leave anyone behind and is just and equitable for all people.
That's so true, because at this point in time, I mean, we know as a humanity, climate change is essential, but then it has become sort of a separate thing which is being dealt with by a lot of people on its own. And unless we embed it into the UN SDGs and then integrate it, I don't think we're going to do justice to a lot of people in the world. So tell us about the World Benchmarking Alliance initiative, Just Transition. I think you launched it yesterday, or it's been
So we released it on Monday. So yeah, 2 days ago, we had our public launch event yesterday. I guess first, maybe just in case there's any listeners that might not be familiar with the term Just Transition, it's essentially what I was just talking about. So how are we taking an integrated approach to sustainable development challenges, and in this case specifically, how are we ensuring that as we work towards addressing climate change, do we ensure that we're not creating even greater inequalities or creating mass unemployment or increased poverty as a result of that transition to this new, more carbon neutral world? I think it's very clear when it comes to the climate crisis what that mission is. We need to halve global carbon emissions by 2030. We need to ensure zero net emissions by 2050. But what does that actually mean for the huge number of people that currently work in those industries that we're sort of saying you need to go? So we look at oil or coal production, you know, we're saying that these industries essentially cannot exist in 20, 30 years if we're going to meet these net zero goals. But there are literally millions of people that currently work in or rely on those industries, and they have done for generations. Proportionate number of those workers, and especially as we look further down the supply chain, based in developing countries. And if we look one at the direct employees, that's one big issue. But then we've got the supply chains, we've got the communities around those workers that all rely on these industries, and they're all propped up by these industries. So as companies are developing their net zero emission plans, they need to be building into those strategies. How do they ensure that as they transition they're making sure that they are bringing people along with them to avoid any negative impact on people. And they're supporting those people into new and green jobs. So what we've developed at the World Benchmarking Alliance is a methodology and a set of six indicators that basically assesses how a company is doing exactly that. So we look at how they're developing their plans, we look at how they're engaging their employers in these conversations so that they're making sure that employees are part of those decisions that are obviously going to be impacting them most. Then we look at how they're developing the skills of those workers so that they can transition into these new industries, these new green jobs. And then we also look at how their companies are working with governments to ensure that social protection systems are adequate and to ensure that the companies are not blocking governments to create the enabling policy environment that will ensure that this transition is just and is equitable. The assessments that we released on Monday, so we looked at 180 companies from high emitting sectors. And what we basically found in those assessments is there is currently a striking and very systematic lack of action by companies to do this work on a just transition. So whilst a lot of them have low carbon strategies, very few are actually working to identify, prepare for, and then mitigate the social impact of those strategies. And out of that 180 companies, we found that only 9 are scored above the 50% mark on the 6 just transition indicators. And really, most companies are right at the start of this journey. And what this means is that there's essentially those 180 companies just in themselves, they employ 11 million workers. So those workers are potentially being put at risk if they're not being included in these decisions about how the company is changing. And that's the conversation we want to start. And that's what we want to engage companies in.
Okay, that sounds really interesting because so just is about justice and equitable transition exactly. For all stakeholders and not just the companies who are interested in meeting their requirements and moving ahead and not thinking exactly. About what the fallouts are going to be. So this is not just meant for the oil and gas industry, or does it start with the oil and gas industry? Who is it targeted at, and you know, what is the rationale of the targeting?
So no, it's not just oil and gas. So our benchmarks are all focused on company progress towards the sustainable development goals. So our initial assessments have looked at 100 oil and gas companies, 50 electric utilities companies, and then 30 car manufacturers, because these have all been identified as high emitting sectors. But then in terms of influence and who are the benchmarks intended to, so they're partly intended for companies to understand where their gaps are and to understand how they perform against their peers. But then they're also intended for the use of stakeholder groups such as investors and NGOs and civil society organizations and policymakers, all of whom work with and have the ability to influence corporate progress and also to hold companies to account.
Okay. Now that gives me a better idea. And of course, I think we should talk at some point about the investors and private equity.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So what is the likely uptake and how is the WBBA planning, if at all, to incentivize businesses to ensure uptake, since this is not mandatory?
It's not mandatory in the fact that companies aren't obliged to engage with us and they're not obliged to do better on the benchmarks, but there is no ability to opt out. So we basically select companies based on how influential they are within the systems change that we have identified as needed within their industry. So if you're on that list as a company, we will assess you. You don't sort of get the opportunity to opt out. We also do try and engage companies in the assessment process, and we try and engage them in the feedback process so they do have an ability to kind of feed into that and to learn from us as well. We want this to be a useful tool for them, not just a kind of naming and shaming. And with these just transition assessments, for example, we found that a third of companies have engaged with us, which, considering this is a pilot year, is really great. We think that's a really positive sign already, and hopefully that will only grow year on year. The way that we sort of incentivize companies, I guess, is creating this race to the top. But it's also about then providing anyone that's lagging behind with a roadmap of what needs to be done. So we see it as in the company's favour if they engage with us. In the report that we just released on Monday, there's a large number of best practice examples and case studies of those companies that are doing this really well. And what we hope is that that gives companies, one, it sort of takes away companies' abilities to say, this is too hard, we can't do it, because here are companies that can and they are. So yeah, have a look what they're doing and learn from their best practices. And then it's also about, as I said, sort of giving other stakeholders like investors, like policymakers, kind of concrete data that they can actually then use within their sphere of influence to be able to incentivize further action.
I'm sure that's really useful for companies, because often they struggle. You'd assume that they know everything. They don't actually.
So the roadmap
must work very well. And
definitely,
even the best, you know, the best practice stuff must be really good for them. So a lot of the advocacy on climate change and decarbonization takes place in the global north. Voices from global north dominate the discourse. What is Just Transition doing to balance voices from the global south?
That's a really good question, and it's something that we do consider a lot at the World Benchmarking Alliance. So inclusivity is one of our core values, and I think it's early and continuous engagement and inclusive dialogue is key, really. At World Benchmarking Alliance, we try to ensure that we're inclusive both with the companies that we assess, but also the allies that we work with and the countries that we work in. So this is one of the key reasons why, when we look at companies, we're basing that on their influence rather than just their size or their turnover. We look at things like, where are their subsidiaries based? Where are their supply chains based? Because this often is in the global south. And it's also why we have a number of colleagues that work all over the world, colleagues based in Asia, South Africa, South America. And that's to ensure that we have kind of an on-the-ground ability to engage with companies, with allies and with partners kind of locally.
So how do you ensure that concerns of marginalized people are taken into consideration while designing the assessment? Because we normally design things sitting in a headquarters somewhere or sitting in an office somewhere.
Yeah.
We can see that farmers are being impacted by warmer summers or drier seasons, and they are struggling. So how are we ensuring that they get their concerns in?
That's another great question, and definitely in developing our assessment methodology. So we had an advisory group made up of 16 people. Those people all have expertise within Just Transition topics specifically, but they also bring the perspectives from a number of different stakeholder groups, such as labour unions, civil society, business and employers, policymakers. And we made sure that those voices were based across all five continents. We also then went through a public consultation stage to ensure that our methodology could be consulted on and we could get feedback publicly. And we held a number of round tables for feedback as well. And going through that process, we were able to ensure that the views of a huge number of stakeholders were taken into account, in particular those that were focused on vulnerable and marginalized groups in society, as you said. And what this has kind of resulted on in our methodology, through having those voices at the table, a number of our indicators specifically assess how companies are ensuring that vulnerable groups, so women, migrant workers, indigenous communities, are included within their transition plans. But it's also even more importantly, in a way, is looking at how companies themselves are including the voices of those people that they see as most impacted within their own company and supply chain, because for each company that's going to be different. So our assessment looks at how companies are doing that, how they're engaging with workers and with those communities, to ask them what they need, what they want, how they can be brought along on this journey. Unfortunately, what we found in our assessment sort of to date, only 8% of that 180 companies currently are demonstrating that they are engaging those workers and those communities in social dialogue. So it's sadly not currently happening the way that it should be, but it's certainly something that we're really supporting and that we're really looking at through these assessments. But at the moment, as I said, companies do seem to be very near the beginning of this journey. We've only seen that 7% of companies have actually made a public kind of time-bound target to mitigate the social impacts of their just transition on their workers, communities, and business relationships. So it's certainly an area that's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, a lot of work to be done as yet. What are the short-term and long-term ambitions for Just Transition? And I think I'll add the next question in, and what would success look like?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the very short-term practical steps at WBA is we'll be integrating the Just Transition methodology. So this new pilot methodology that we've just released the first assessments of on Monday, we'll be integrating that into our climate and energy benchmark. So next year, we'll be assessing 90 transport companies, and we'll publish that in Q3 2022, and we hope having that much more integrated approach will mean that we're assessing companies on their environmental and social risks and impacts and how they impact on each other within each company. But in terms of the kind of longer term ambition for impact, we are at the same time kind of publishing our results. We've also launched what we call the Just Transition Coalition. So this brings together, again, kind of going back to those other stakeholders like investors and policymakers and also research and academia, it brings them together collectively to work on just transition impacts and drive impact on the ground through what we've identified within our assessments. And within that coalition, those different stakeholder groups will make commitments depending on who they are and depending on their unique position within the ecosystem of influence. They will make commitments on how they can support this. So for investors, for example, they might commit to engage companies to create better just transition plans and then commit to base their investment decisions based on the quality of those plans. So that's kind of what we want to get to and what we want to drive towards. And I think in terms of what does success look like, I guess, again, on the very high, broad levels, success would be that the necessary transformation to a low carbon economy doesn't lead to mass unemployment, doesn't lead to the collapse of entire communities, and is also actually taken as an opportunity to fix some of the economic injustices that we currently have existing in our society. I guess for us at WBA, it's about encouraging action and being part of that ecosystem and providing clear, robust, and simple metrics that can inspire companies, investors, and policymakers to move on this journey. You know, as I said earlier, the just part of the transition really needs to stop being the elephant in the room when we're talking about climate change. The race to net zero, it's not a race against each other, it's a race against time. And we're only going to win that race if we run it together and we ensure that these impacted workers and impacted communities aren't left behind.
Yeah, thank you. That sounds like a really inspiring, but a lot of work. I just want to add another question since we are at COP26 and all the world leaders are there, activists and whoever is interested in climate change. And, you know, the Indian Prime Minister has made a huge commitment on net zero by 2060, which was a more realistic target. 2050 is what everyone expected. I think Bill Gates made some commitments for agricultural innovation, and there have been a couple of other huge announcements. What are the fault lines in this COP26? Is there going to be something that really emerges from this that is substantive?
I mean, you know, I'm going to remain hopeful. I think it has to, really. If it doesn't happen now, then we are all going to be in a pretty terrible state of affairs. And I think that's what I really do hope, that it is not all just talk and that we walk away from this without really moving the needle and creating the catalytic change that needs to happen. There's got to be action behind these commitments. And I think that's the key. And again, making sure that when we're making these commitments, we're not just thinking about the kind of, well, someone else can deal with this because actually it's going to happen in 30 years and I'm not going to be the person in charge or responsible anymore. So it doesn't really matter. We can't have that attitude. So I think I'm going to remain hopeful because I think we've got to have hope.
Thank you so much for your time. This was a wonderful conversation, and I'm sure we'll have several other conversations because I'm very keen to explore Just Transition and the people who are at the front and leading on making change and ensuring that, you know, the social impact and considering all these issues while making a just transition. Thank you very much, Natasha, your time.
Yeah, it was really great to speak to you. Take care.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Elephant in the Room podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on any of your favorite platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And if you enjoyed listening to the podcast today, don't forget to write a review and tell your friends. Sign up on the link in the show notes to receive updates on our guest speakers, blogs, and events. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday for new episodes.